You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
2 Corinthians 5, we quoted that scripture last week. We talked about that you're more on the inside than what you see on the outside. You are more on the inside than what you see on the outside. And thank God you are. Amen. Thank God we are more on the inside than we see on the outside. And there's more to life on the inside of you than there is on the outside of you. In fact, the real power of God is in you. God Himself being in you. Amen. As a Christian, as a believer, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Salvation, the new birth, that took place on the inside of you. It didn't take place on the outside of you. And that's what we're working on, is the outside. We're not working on the inside per se. That was what God did. That was His thing. The new birth, being born again, being saved, washed in the blood, redeemed, that was something He did. It wasn't anything we did. We didn't work for our salvation. We work out our salvation. Everybody say out.
Out.
See,
out.
We can't work it in because there's nothing you can do to earn it. You can't. You're not worthy enough. You're not good enough. You never help enough people and love enough people to be saved. That was something Jesus did.
Amen.
He did that, and it happened on the inside. The day after you were saved, you didn't look any different than you did the day before you were saved. Maybe you smile a little more, hopefully. But your body was the same. Your hair color was the same. Your height, all that was the same. In fact, this body, this outward man, 2 Corinthians 4:16, says the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. We know this outward man perishes. It gets older day by day by day by day. But that's not true on the inside. Hallelujah. This inside man is being renewed day by day. Just like the outside man's getting older, the inside is getting better and younger, and hallelujah. It's just a wonderful thing. One day, we will separate ourselves from this outside body in what we call physical death. Death is just separation. Everybody say separation.
Separation.
That's a real simple way to think about it. We have a funeral, we celebrate a home going for someone, or we're at a funeral service, and we walk by that casket. That's not that person. That's the body that person was in. If they're a Christian, a believer, they're in heaven. They actually never died. They just left that body, left this earth, and stepped off into glory. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us that. 2 Corinthians 5:7 we have on our banner, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
We are confident rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, it's an unusual way of saying it. He doesn't think of your body as you, Paul speaking. He's not talking like it's you. He's saying you're in it or you're out of it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
So we're walking around inside this body, but one day we'll step out of this body in what we call physical death, but it's actually a separation. Now, if Jesus comes back, hallelujah, somebody, we'll be changed while we're in it. And this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality, and death will be swallowed up of life. Woo, glory.
Amen.
But I am inside this body. You're inside that body. Whatever the size of that body is, or however that body looks, has nothing to do with who you are. And I think we make much of the outside, and God makes much of the inside. We look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Amen.
Thank God.
Praise the Lord.
You are dynamite.
Amen.
In Christ.
Yeah. That's right.
You are a world changer, a world overcomer in Christ.
Yeah.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But it takes some discipline. You've got to learn to live out of your spirit. Learn to live from the inside instead of from the outside. Learn not to be affected so much by the outside. And turn around and start affecting the outside.
Amen.
I think too many times we as Christians are like thermometers. We just kind of read the temperature, whatever's happening. We just say it, do it, act it. We're just like thermometers. But really, God called us to be thermostats.
Amen.
Think about it. Thermostats, you set that temperature on that thermostat, and it changes the temperature in the room.
Amen.
Thermostats change the environment.
Yes, yes, good.
They change the circumstance. Thermometers just read whatever the circumstance says or whatever the environment is.
Right.
That's what it does. But if you're a thermostat instead of a thermometer, then you're calling for something else.
Amen.
You're calling for a change.
Hallelujah.
And you start with the inside. It's the internal workings of the AC, the air conditioner, you know, or the heater, or whatever the case may be. It's all those internal workings wired to that thermostat that will begin to move and start. I mean, that thing will kick in, compressors will kick in, blowers will kick in, fans will start blowing, all of a sudden, man, everything starts changing from the inside out.
Yeah.
Happens in here every day. We got all these ducts, see all those ducts, those vents up there, there's ducts connected, though. They're connected, you know, to units, and they're all wired into this little thermostat that y'all just cannot leave alone. I've been thinking about what to do about that. But anyway, you go over and you move that thing, and if it's too cold in here, man, you can move it over and it'll heat up. And if it's too hot in here, it'll cool down. If you whatever you put it on, man, all that inside working start going on, and man, it starts changing the outside.
Amen.
Well, we are a spirit living in a body, and we can make a difference. We can change the outside. We can get all this inside working. Hello. Praying, believing, standing in faith, living holy, giving and helping and blessing. And it starts things to move it on the inside. Woo. And it affects a change on the outside. We need to learn to live out of our spirit, to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Not be affected by what we see. Even in Psalms 112, it's amazing. It talks about a righteous man, and it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. And it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. I like that. Nothing on the outside affects him because he's living from the inside. He's got his heart right. Get your heart right. Everything else just lines up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. Do that which is right in his sight. Keep these commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. But you get your heart right and you get right with him. And it affects the outside. Wow. So this is who we are now. We're not who we are in that mirror when we look in that mirror in the morning. Thank God. I mean, we can do something about that. We can fix it up and make it look pretty nice. But that's really not who we are. We're a lot more than that. We're born again. We're in Christ. We're overcomers. More than conquerors. We have the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And on and on and on, the promises that God has given us. And that verse in 2 Corinthians 5, which we went over and talked about, it's interesting, Paul, when he started out talking about that, he said in the 16th verse, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Or new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now he's talking about what's happening on the inside of you. He's not talking about the outside here. Nothing on the outside became new. What became new was the inside. And he says all things are of God. Not everything that happens to you is God. The new birth is God. Being born again is God. This thing called Christianity, salvation, redemption is God, not man. It's all God, no man. Are you with me? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Anybody have a Message translation? Mindy does. Let me have that Message translation. Just a moment, please. All right. Let me have those glasses, too. Okay. Yes. Hallelujah. Wow. I can see. Listen to this. You're going to love this. In the Message translation, where it talks about, I don't know anybody after the flesh any longer. We knew Christ after the flesh, and we know him that way no longer. If any man be in Christ, you know, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. In the Message, it says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. It's created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him. And then, oh, this is good. and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. Man, I love that. Isn't that good? But that's what happened. Something happened on the inside. Woo! I'm a new person. I don't look the same anymore. You can follow me along now. Okay, there it is right there. Okay, good. Hallelujah. I'll just keep these on. They look so good. They look gooder than I look because I'm looking better with them on. And then we talked about Ephesians, the second chapter, where the Bible says in the 10th verse, Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I like that. But what happened to me, being a Christian, becoming saved, that was His work. That was His workmanship. Amen. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We're saved by faith. And that's something He does. But we were saved to serve. I love that. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And what's so good about this is we can do this. You really can love people. You really can forgive. You really can walk holy. He'll help you do it. If you'll start living from the inside and start checking out the inside instead of the outside, if you'll look at people from the inside instead of the outside, if you're not moved so much by appearances, if you're not moved so much by what people wear and how they look, if you know there's something more there, I tell you what, if you know this, that they're lost, that all they need is Jesus and they can be saved and go to heaven, it'll make you look at them differently. I know also that if you're praying for people, it's hard to be mad and upset and bitter at people that you are really genuinely praying for. And most of the time when we're upset with someone, we're probably not praying for them. Would you agree with that? I mean, I'm just talking to me too here. I got no stones to throw. But if I'm upset with somebody, I sure hadn't been on my knees praying for them. So I'm not looking at them like I should be looking at them. Hello. I'm looking at them on the outside. And that's why I'm so upset. Not so much as for what I see, but how I'm seeing. The way I'm looking. See, we're a whole lot more on the inside than we're on the outside. And everybody else is too. I think it would shock you and shock me to see someone glorified this moment in time. If you walk down the aisle at Brookshire's and ran into another Christian and just said, "Hi, how are you?" And yet God will let you see for a moment in time what they would look like in eternity in that glorified state, covered with the glory of God, glistening and shining like the sun. You would fall on your face and probably be tempted to worship them. You'd be wrong. But we just don't understand. We just don't see the way God sees. God sees so much more in us than we see in ourselves. Aren't you glad? Amen. So we're created unto good works. I am a spirit. You are a spirit. This is something that we need to understand. We're more than what the psychiatrists say. You're just a mind and a body. And so they try to deal with the mind, the psyche, psychiatry, psychology. That's what they call it. And so they try to deal with emotions and they try to deal with thoughts and all those things. And that does some good. Now, I understand that. But the problem is, if a man or a woman never gets born again and their spirit is never saved, that will not fix their problems. You can work on your mind all day long, but if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're not a new creation. You're still spiritually dead to God. Oh, you're alive and walking around, but you're not alive to God. When I accepted Jesus, I didn't get a new spirit. My spirit was saved and born again and renewed in the sense that it became alive to God. I had a spirit before I got saved. You did too. It was just dead to God.
Amen.
It had the nature of the world in it. It was by nature a child of wrath. Even though it might have done some good things, been a pretty nice fella or, you know, a nice lady, you still inside there, you needed to be made alive.
Yes.
And only Christ can do that. Amen. That's how we got saved. Praise the Lord. Turn to Hebrews 12. Talk a little bit about your spirit. Everybody say, "I am a spirit." Okay. See, and that's the truth. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a mind or a soul. It's important what you do with your mind, because if you don't put the Word of God in your mind, you're going to be very worldly minded. And if you put the Word of God in your mind and His promises in your mind, you meditate on His Word and you seek His face and try to do what he says. You know, what does he tell me to do? How does he tell me to relate to people? Then you'll be spiritually minded. See, the mind's like a go-between, if you could think of it that way. You have your spirit pulling you one way, and you have your flesh pulling you the other way. You know those old cartoons where they had this little devil on one side and they had this little angel on the other side? The little devil would go, yeah, go ahead, do it. You know, the good angel over here, they would say, oh, don't do that. You can't do that. The halos around their head. You know. That wasn't so far off. Now, I don't believe there's an angel on each one of your shoulders, but I believe your spirit is pulling you to do the right thing. Your flesh is pulling you to do the wrong thing.
Amen.
Well, it just felt good. That's a pretty good indication it was the wrong thing to do. Well, I just felt like, well, I'm just telling you, that is the wrong way to live your life, okay? Don't live your life with feelings. You don't go by feeling. You go by the Word. You go by what God says. Galatians says the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary one to the other. In fact, you don't want to forgive people when they sin against you. You want revenge, but vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But deep down in your spirit, if you'll pray, you know you know it. You know you're supposed to forgive. You know that's right. You know it's right. You don't want to do it, but you know it's right. That's your flesh, see, pulling at you not to do the right thing. Now, how are you going to win this thing out? Well, it's real simple. If any two agree as touching anything, it shall be done, the Bible says. So if your mind's full of God's Word, then it will agree with your spirit. If you've been studying God's Word, meditating in His Word, then your mind will agree with your spirit and it will overpower your flesh. But if you're not in church, you're not meditating on the Word, not reading your Bible at all, then when the challenge comes, your mind's just full of the world. And you know in the world, the hero kills all the bad guys. Life is not that way. You can't shoot your wife. Can't shoot your husband. And when you have an altercation or a problem, an argument with someone in the world, you can't just shoot them. It doesn't work that way. That's Hollywood. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
Wow.
But it's not real life. All right. I mean, we're with the good guy. Kill him. Yeah, wipe them all out. But you don't see a lot of movies where a guy gets on his knees and he prays for these people and they get saved.
Amen.
Are you with me? And yet that's what God's telling us to do. Now if you're just, you know, if your life is just determined by movies, then, you know, well, hey, you're in for a rough ride. All right. What did I tell you to turn to? Hebrews 12? Good book. Notice what it says here in Hebrews 12. See, I'm a spirit. You're a spirit. I'm more than just this body here. Surely I'm more than this. My goodness, surely there's more than I see. Paul said, if in this life alone I have hope, we have hope, we are of all creatures most miserable. Got to be something better than this. And thank God there is. Hebrews 12 says this, 22nd verse. But you have come to Mount Zion. I love that. To the city of the living God. Now what he's comparing here is the old covenant with the new covenant. How under the old covenant you couldn't even touch the mount that Moses went up on, and for 40 days, you know, he fasted and was with God, got the Ten Commandments, and is the only man to ever break all Ten Commandments in one time. Came off the mountain, broke them all. And but you know, he turned out okay, which is good for us because he started out as a basket case.
Amen.
But anyway, there's so much truth in this. See, we've missed these truths, and they're all over the Word. Okay, but it says in the 22nd verse, you didn't come to that. You didn't come to that mount. You'd be killed if you touched that mount. But you've come to Mount Zion, hallelujah. Not to judgment, not to law, but to grace, being saved. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company, and that's a lot, innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, hallelujah, who are registered in heaven. I am registered. I am a citizen of heaven, hallelujah. Jesus was the firstborn. But when there's a first, there's a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth. Are you with me? He was the first fruits. But he wasn't the last. He was just the first. And he started something. He's the captain, the leader of our salvation. He's our elder brother. He was the first new creature. He was the first born again man. First born from the dead. First resurrected from the dead. The first one, but not the last. He started a new race. He started a whole new family. Did you know you're part of a brand new race? A brand new family. I'm not white or black or Hispanic. I'm Christian. I'm a new race.
Amen.
I'm a whole new race. Wow. So I've come to this 23rd verse, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Man, I love that. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You know, Cain killed Abel and his blood cried out for vengeance, but Jesus' blood doesn't cry out for vengeance. When they hung him on the cross, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His blood cries out for grace and cries out for forgiveness. He is the mediator of the new covenant, not the old where you die if you touch that mount, but the new. Not the judgment where lightnings and thunders and voices came out of the mount. Man, everybody, they were so afraid. They wouldn't touch that mount, and they wouldn't even look at Moses. When he came off the mount, his face glistened so bright, they had to put a veil on his face for him to even talk to them. They were afraid of God. They were afraid of that mountain. That's not what we're coming to. That's not what we've come to. But see, that was all the flesh. That was all the outside. This is all on the inside. This is what happened to us inside. We have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Everybody say spirits.
Spirit.
That's important because that's what was born again. Your spirit. That's what was made perfect. Your spirit. Flesh wasn't made perfect. Your relationships weren't made perfect. All of a sudden, with everybody, everything's okay. It's not. You've got to work on that. But your spirit has been made perfect. You're now born again. Feels like I'm born again. You know that song? Third day, they sing it so much better than I do. We are saved now. Something happened to me. Now I, from the inside, need to work this out. That's why we go to church. That's why we study. That's why we pray. That's why we learn all these principles. That's why we confess all these promises. That's why we get together and hang around each other and help each other, encourage each other, and have accountability to each other. Why is that? Because we want to get this on the inside, on the outside of us. We want to get this out of us. We want to work out our salvation.
Amen.
I want to learn to love. I really do. I want to learn to help people. I want to learn to bless people. I'm becoming a better person because of International Outreach Church. I really am. I'm becoming better. I'm not perfect on the outside. That's on the inside. But I'm working on this outside.
Amen.
And God forbid we quit working on it. You are something more than what you are on the outside. Don't you believe the lie and don't you buy the lie. People tell you you're no good, you can't do this, and you look at your past and you've done some things that hadn't worked and you've tried some things and failed. But failure is an event, not a person.
That's right.
That's all it is. And we've all had crisis and we've all had failures. But that's not who I am. I'm a spirit that has been made perfect. Gotta love that. I am more than this out here. And I'm getting this in here, in my head, and working it out. 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 That's why it's so important to fill your mind full of the Word of God. Romans 12, turn there real quick if you will. These are scriptures that you know, you should know. But sometimes we just need to connect the dots. I think what happens when we come to church, a lot of times we're not hearing anything we don't necessarily had never heard before. I mean, it's stuff we've heard, but we hadn't put it all together. We've had the puzzle pieces laying out there, and all of a sudden we start locking them together. And what happens is you've heard this, and you've heard that, and you've heard this. And now it starts coming together, and you get a bigger picture. You get a clearer picture. Things become clearer by approach. The more we approach them, the more we listen to them, the more we hear them, the clearer that thing becomes. That's why you don't want to stop coming, because you're just that close. You may be just that close for a new revelation, for just a deeper relationship with God. You know, something, a truth that'll set you free. One word from God can change your life forever. It really can. And you don't get lulled into the sleep of this world. We talked about that, how we often fall asleep, and the Bible tells us to wake up. Arise, thou that sleepest, and let Christ give thee light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. See, there's a whole world out here that's got a spirit in it that's just trying to lull us into a sleep and keep us under, keep us thermometers. And God's made us thermostats. And so what we keep doing, we just keep, you know, the temperature gets to 100 and we take the thermostat and we just turn it to 100 because we don't know that we can change it. We just accept it. It's like calling the company. You call Michael Harrison and say, hey, there's something wrong with my air conditioner. What's wrong? Well, it's 90 degrees in here. Well, what you got your thermostat set on? 90 degrees. What? And he's shaking his head, you know, and he's going, what are you talking about? What do you mean you got your thermostat set on 90? What are you doing that for? Because it's 90 degrees in here. I'm trying to tell you, it's not working. And he's going, no, you have to set the thermostat on what you want. Are you out there?
Amen.
And then you argue back with him, but you don't understand. It is 90 degrees in this house. The thing's not working. And finally he's going to tell you, you don't need a unit. You need a thermometer. Because you just keep moving it with the temperature. That's kind of what we do, isn't it? We just kind of move with the temperature. It starts raining and we have a bad day. Sun shines, we're happy. Everything's going our way, we're okay. We have a few crises, man, we get down. We're not thermostats, we're thermometers. But God's telling us, hey, you are a thermostat. You can set that thing. You know, as far as peace is concerned, set your thermostat on Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I love that. Set it right there. And when you hear all the good news about the economy, hello, and all the news channels are talking about it, president and everybody else, you set that thermostat on Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You start living from the inside out, see? That's who you really are. And truth be known, you can change the outside from the inside. You really can. Romans 12. Found it? I needed this. How about you?
Amen.
But there's more to you than what you see on the outside. Amen. 12th chapter. Notice what it says here. First verse, and you know these verses. I beseech you therefore, first verse, 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies. You're not your body. You present your body. You know, it's kind of like riding a horse. You tell that horse where to go. Don't let your body lead you. A horse, you get on a horse and you leave the barn and you don't rein it in and you don't, the horse is going to turn around and go back to the barn. That's just what horses do. That's where the food is. That's where they get rubbed down. Oh, man, that's where it's protected in the weather. So you have to make that horse go out of the barn or it's just going to go back to the barn. But you have to remember who's riding who. You're riding his horse, okay? You're not the horse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. Your body is yours, not you. It's yours. You own it, okay? God owns it, you know, through you, but you own it. You can make it do the right thing. You can make it get up in the morning. You can make it get up. You can make it go to work. You can make it go to church. I get tickled that people can go to work every day and can't get up on Sunday morning. I just couldn't get up. Well, you got up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Couldn't get up Sunday. Oh, man, I just forgot. You forgot? You didn't forget Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Moving right along here. Okay. You have to tell everybody. I heard Norval Hayes say this one time. Norval Hayes, just the great teacher. He says, you know, your body sits down at the table and it wants two pieces of coconut pie. And you have to tell your body, no, you can't have two pieces of coconut pie. No, we're talking about Norval Hayes. If you're real good, you can have one, you know. But you got to tell your body what to do. Your body wants four or five Starbucks. I tell my body it can just have one and maybe another one during the day if it's real good. Okay. I'm not my body. And I don't have to have Starbucks. My body does, okay? It's not me. Okay. Okay, y'all track with me now. Stay with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. I love that. God's not looking for people to die for Him. He's looking for people to live for Him. Anybody can die for Jesus. I don't discredit or discount that. I think that's wonderful people that have been martyrs, that have given their life for God. But that's not what God's looking for. When that time comes, you make that decision. I'm just believing that I'm going to have the strength and the will and the fortitude to live for Him. Are you with me? And I got to make my body do that. I have to present my body to Him. I have to make it serve God. I have to make it love people. I have to smile when I don't want to. Be kind when I don't want to. You can do it. You can make your body do it. You do it every day. You do it on the phone. You know, I've used that example over and over. I might be sitting in my chair reading my favorite book, Bible, or some good teaching book or whatever, and I've got my Triple Grande, One Splendid Latte or something. I'm sitting there in my favorite chair, and I mean, this is my time, okay? I have served God all day. This is my time. And then the phone rings. Hello. Rings quite a bit, tell you the truth. And I'm thinking, you know, what is the deal here? Here I am. I just sat down. I have just got comfortable. I just got my favorite book. I just started drinking my Triple Grande, One Splendid Latte. Life is good. I'm thinking, man, give me a break. And you grab that phone and you go, hello. Oh, nothing. Not a thing. What can I help you with? Now, you know you don't feel that way, but that's a simple thing to do.
Now we know how you answer the phone.
Now I know what you're going to think every time you answer the phone. You already, yeah. Okay. It's not like it every time. You know. Okay. You do it, I do it, we all do it. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. You make yourself smile, you be nice, you sound friendly. That's just a self call. I believe self calls are from hell, they're not from heaven. You can hang them up, hang up on it, okay? Stay with me. Now, that's what we're talking about. You can forgive, you can love, you can make yourself be nice. You can make yourself be kind. You can go to church. You can do the right thing. And a good thing is when you do these things, it changes you. It changes you. It gets to where it's easy. It gets to where it's part of your lifestyle. You just live a life of love. You're starting to really live from the inside. You've learned that, you know what, you're not going to get to go back to the barn. We're going out for a ride now. And the body has to go. And you subject your body to the Word. You discipline your body to do the right thing. You do it so much, you know that's what you're going to do. You know, I say this all the time, and you know this, but it's the truth. I don't know everything that's going to happen in my life. And we don't know everything that's going to happen in this church. But one thing we do know, we're going to believe God. Because we've been doing it for so long now, that's just what we do. We don't have all the answers. We don't know everything that's going to happen. But I know one thing. Whatever happens, whatever crisis comes, whatever the devil throws at, we are going to believe God. Because we've been believing God for years. We've been praying about everything. We're not perfect. We haven't won every battle. But you know what? That's what we do. So I'm not confused about everything. I know one thing. We're going to trust God. Going to trust God. Well, what if this happens, Pastor? What if that happens? Well, we're going to trust God. We have disciplined ourselves to do that. And it may hurt. Hello? We may be shaking while we're doing it. Our lip may be quivering while we're confessing the word. Our knees may be knocking while we're kneeling on them. But we're going to pray. And the body's not going to go back to the barn. We're going out for this ride, and we're going to see the glory of God come to pass, and we're going to get answers to our prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Because we've disciplined ourselves. We're presenting ourselves, our bodies, a living sanctuary. We are a spirit. We are inside here. And we're ruling this thing. Our body's not ruling us. Our feelings aren't ruling us. No, we're going to do the right thing here. We're going to live from the inside out. I am more on the inside than I look like on the outside. Amen? And he says this in close. I'll close this out. I don't even know what time I started. But I do know when I'm going to finish. Okay. And do not be conformed to this world.
Amen.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Hallelujah.
See, that's that deciding factor. You're a spirit, you got a body, but if you don't get your mind full of the Word of God, your flesh and your mind are going to overrule your spirit. You're going to live a worldly life, a fleshly life, a hateful life, a vengeful life, a bitter life. But if you'll fill your mind full of the Word of God, your soul full of God's Word, then you'll start living from the inside out. You'll start working out your salvation. Your spirit and your mind will hook up because you'll immediately know what God says about it because you've been in the Word. You've been in the Scripture. You know what the promises say. You know what you're supposed to do. You've been meditating on it. You've been committing yourself and dedicating yourself to God. Now the time comes. Now the test has come. The devil's throwing his best shot. Hello. But we're not going to give in now. No, sir. Been too far, prayed too much, believed too much, stood on too much word, meditated too long, served God too long to quit now. Not going to happen. Shut the barn door. We're going out for a ride. We're not going to go back on this. Amen? He says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've been born again. That was God's work. Living for God is my work. Y'all listen to that? Being saved is God's work. I can't save myself. But I tell you what, living for God is my work. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because He'll help me do it. I have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained. I should walk in them. That's why we have the Bible. That's why there's so much instruction in here. Because He wants to help us grow and help us mature and help us live this life out. The world is going to hell and they need to hear about Jesus. They need to see Him in me. They need to see some hope in me and in you. Amen? And we can do it. That's the good news. We can do this thing. You know, the word transform means to change to another form. To transfigure, to transform. I want to change my body and my life and my habits, my relationships, into another form, to a godly form, praise God, to a love form, to a forgiving, to a helping, be a blessing. I was called, you were called, we were called to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Man, think about it. I'm called to be a blessing. You're called to be a blessing. That starts inside. And you and I can do it. Praise God. Something new happened to us. I'm not who I used to be. I am somebody else now. Maybe you've been hiding. You know, maybe you've been hiding out. You know, the devil has been deceiving you, lying to you. But I tell you, the truth's out now. Truth is that you can live for God and you can make a difference. Every one of us can. And we are. We're making a difference here in this church. Amen. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus and has now given us the ministry of reconciliation.